The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam. 6th Canto, Chapter Number 1, Text Number 6. Given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasathikari. Recorded on July 3, 2015, at Rupanuga Vedic College in Kansas City, Missouri, USA.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Aruna iha mahabhaga yata eva narakam nara nana ugra yatanam na iyat tat me Vyakyata Vyakyatum Arhasi Aduneha Mahabhaga Yataiva Narakanaraha Nanungayatananeyat Tanme Vyakyatumahasi Aduneha Mahabhaga Yataiva Narakam Nara Nanogra Yatananehat Tanme Vyakyatumahasi. Aduna, right now,
Iha,
in this material world, Mahabhaga, O greatly opulent and fortunate Shukadeva Goswami, Yata, so that, Eva, indeed, Narakan, all the hellish conditions in which the impious are put. Nara, human beings. Nana, varieties of. Ugra, terrible. Yatanam, conditions of suffering. Na'iyat, may not undergo. Tat, that, may, to me, vakyatumarhasi, please describe. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. O greatly fortunate and opulent Shukadeva Goswami, now kindly tell me how human beings may be saved from having to enter hellish conditions in which they suffer terrible pains. In the 26th chapter of the 5th canto, Shukadeva Goswami has explained that people who commit sinful acts are forced to enter hellish planets and suffer. Now Maharaj Parikshit, being a devotee, is concerned with how this can be stopped. A Vaishnava is paradhukadukhi. In other words, he has no personal troubles, but he is very unhappy to see others in trouble. Prahlad Maharaj said, "My Lord, I have no personal problems, for I have learned how to glorify your transcendental qualities and thus enter into a trance of ecstasy. I do have a problem, however. for I am simply thinking of these rascals and fools who are busy with maya sukha, temporary happiness, without knowledge of devotional service unto you. This is the problem faced by a Vaishnava. Because a Vaishnava fully takes shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he personally has no problems because he is compassionate toward the fallen conditioned souls. He is always thinking of plans to save them from their hellish life in this body and the next. Parikshit Maharaj therefore anxiously wanted to know from Shukadev Goswami how humanity can be saved from gliding down to hell. Shukadev Goswami had already explained how people enter hellish life, and he could also explain how they could be saved from it. Intelligent men must take advantage of these instructions. Unfortunately, however, the entire world is lacking Krishna consciousness, and therefore people are suffering from the grossest ignorance and do not even believe in a life after this one. To convince them of their next life is very difficult because they have become almost mad in their pursuit of material enjoyment. Nevertheless, our duty, the duty of all sane men, is to save them. Parikshit Maharaj is the representative of one who can save them. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragana Tam Vitam Tam Sajiva Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shim Vishakan Vitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschat Yadeshatarine. So, if we are actually Vaishnavas, we have no problems. If we are experiencing problems in our life, it means we haven't really become fully Vaishnavas yet. We're still hovering in the platform between Vaishnava and Avaishnava. A Vaishnava has absolutely no problems because he perceives everything as the blessing of Krishna. Whatever happens to him, it may be good, it may be bad, it may be fortunate, it may be misfortunate, it may be beautiful, it may be ugly, it may be wonderful, it may be horrible. These are all material considerations. You understand? The Vaishnava experiences everything as the loving hand of Krishna touching him on the head. Everything. Therefore he has no problems. He is feeling the love of Krishna. He is experiencing the love of the unlimited, unconditional love of Krishna at every minute, wherever he goes. His every thought is in reciprocation with the love of Krishna. His every word is in reciprocation with that sweet, sweet, sweet love of Krishna. His every action is in pure transcendental reciprocation with the incredibly sublime loving mercy of Krishna. I see. But he has one problem, and one problem only. That is how to save these poor fools who are not Krishna conscious. You see. The mission of a bona fide Vaishnava is that he wants to deliver every single jiva in the entire universe. That is the mission of a bona fide devotee of the Lord. So, because he feels that anguish, that pain in his heart, to see so much misery in this world going on with lacking Krishna consciousness, Krishna is very, very pleased with them, especially Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srila Prabhupada explains this in his purport in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that Lord Chaitanya, our beloved Lord Chaitanya, he is in great distress to see the conditioned souls completely entangled in the grips of Srimati Mayadevi. So any person who comes forward who also has that mood, you see, it's explained that you relieve Lord Chaitanya of some of his burden of transcendental anxiety. In other words, if you can adopt also this mood of transcendental anxiety, then you become an intimate insider of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, intimate insider of Lord Chaitanya. So somehow we have to do that. We have to develop that compassion to see how pathetic their condition is now. In spite of all of their advancement of civilization, their internet, their jet planes, their air conditioning, so many big, big technological things they've concocted due to past pious activities. They've gotten so much material facility, but it's all being wasted on sense gratification. Therefore, it is the greatest tragedy. So one who feels sorry for them, you see, who wants to help them, this is the greatest thing. Actually, Prabhupada very much encouraged me one time in one letter. I had joined there in Austin with Vishnu John Swami. It was really sweet. He hitchhiked into Austin. No, somebody dropped him off, actually. He came to Austin with no facility, and in a short time he had a temple building filled up with devotees. It was amazing to see the transmit, but he did in a short time in Austin. And then, actually, Prabhupada gave me an order in my initiation letter. He said, make our Austin Center a grand success. So then Vishnu John Swami, he had been ordered to open 10 temples, so that he went on down the road to San Antonio. He had opened Houston. Austin was number 2, and now he's going to San Antonio. He had Austin opened number 3. So somebody else was in, one of the new boys, Sri Galim, was now in charge of the temple. He had joined just a few weeks before I did. We were all new recruits. There was no really seniors. Vishnu John was the only. We were all basically just raw recruits. So anyway, Sri Galim said, I think we're going to close down the temple and just go traveling and preaching. And I was thinking, what? How could Prabhupada told me to make the Austin Center a grand success, so how could we close the temple and go travel? That'd be disobeying Prabhupada's order. I was really in anxiety about it, you know. So I was thinking, well, what to do? You know, the temple president's not going to listen to me. So I just write to Prabhupada. And tell him, Prabhupada, the temple president wants to close the temple, but then give him my sales pitch. But Prabhupada, I said, the people here are so much suffering because they're lacking Krishna consciousness. I'm putting in my sales pitch and saying, keep the temple open. Well, Prabhupada took my sales pitch. He liked my attitude. He said, yeah, the temple president got chastised, actually, and I got glorified. Of course, the temple president wasn't very happy with me. Prabhupada corrected him, and he appreciated me. But that's all right. I can, you know. Better to please Prabhupada, that's the ultimate thing. So, I didn't feel so bad that the Prabhupada was pleased with me. He said, I'm very pleased that you feel this compassion upon the fallen souls of Austin. You want to, this is very much wonderful, Prabhupada told me. He really appreciated that I wanted to, that I felt this concern about the people of Austin who were lacking Krishna consciousness. And he gave me a nice little example. Because we were going through a really tough time. I mean, we'd gotten evicted from our temple. And we were crammed in with a house that was a little tiny. It was like a dollhouse. It was so small. Living room was about maybe from this table to the wall and about that big of a cube, that big of a square. I mean, it was so small. You had to, when doing circumambulating Tulsi Devi, you had to be careful that you didn't brush against the altar. I mean, it was really tough. We were squeezed. There was a very tiny house. There was one bedroom where the householder couple lived, the temple room, the bathroom, and we all just lived, the brahmacharis just lived in the living room floor. That's all we had, a little tiny kitchen, living room, a bathroom, the temple room, and the householders. So it was very tough. But Prabhupada wrote a nice encouragement there. He said, now you were squeezed a little bit tightly, he said. He could really understand. Now you were squeezed a little tightly, he said. But he gave the example of some man in a tight space, you see. It kind of reminds me of what they do on the Indian trains when, you know, somebody, those third class trains, you ever ridden on that where it's all crammed in? Some man, he'll squeeze in to the seat, and then he'll squeeze his wife and his kids, and pretty much everybody else is on the floor, and he's taking over the whole seat. So it was kind of like that. Prabhupada said, now you're squeezed a bit tight. He says, but now if you gradually sit down, and then gradually you can lie down and occupy the big space, Prabhupada told him. So in this way, Prabhupada gave us all encouragement. So this wonderful purport here reminds me of that letter I got from Prabhupada, how much he was pleased with this, that I was concerned about the people of Austin, that they were suffering without Krishna consciousness. So if we can look out upon these souls, you see, look out upon the suffering souls of Kansas City, you see, the miserians. Look out at all these miserians, and really feel bad about their condition, you know. Wow, these people. Here they are eating meat, they're having illicit sex. All this garbage they're engaged in, they're going down to the animal kingdom in their next birth. These poor souls, if they just knew about Krishna, if they just somehow had an opportunity to get some prasadam or hear the holy names or, you know, hear a lecture or read a book, you see, about Krishna. This is the moon. This is what it means to be a devotee. If you don't care about the suffering souls, you're just a kanishta. You're materialistic. Really, you're just kanishtalistic, materialistic, kanishta adhikari. And your position is very weak in Krishna consciousness. You can fall down at any time. Fall down at any time. But one who has actually developed this compassion, they're called majjhima adhikari, you see. And Prabhupada said they can never fall down. They will never fall down. The Uttama never falls down, and Prabhupada says the Majjhima also never falls down. You see, the Majjhima has this mood of compassion. He may not be fully realized Uttama yet, but he has that compassion. His whole life is dedicated for spreading Krishna consciousness to the suffering souls of this world. That person, because of his mood of love for all living creatures, he's always protected by Krishna at every minute, even if the most heavy onslaughts of Maya may be put before him, like Haridas Thakura and the prostitute. He won't fall down because he sincerely wants to give Krishna to every suffering living entity in this material world. So the question for us neophytes, us kanishtas who are still greedy, lusty, angry, and don't give a damn about the suffering souls, The challenge for us is how do we get out of this kanishta mentality and actually become majjhima adhikari, you see? This is the great challenge for us. How do we do it? Well, this purport is the key. If you study this purport very carefully, understand exactly what Prabhupada is saying, and from that, understand exactly what your duty is. You see? The spiritual master doesn't just give flowery words to flatter you or to razzle-dazzle your brain. When the spiritual master speaks, you see, there comes a duty along with them. A duty comes along with it. And if one can actually understand the duty that the spiritual master is giving you and embrace that duty within your heart, then you become what is known as a realized devotee, you see. You become realized. It's not just theoretical and not just some words. Now you're actually experiencing, as described here by Srila Prabhupada, about Prahlad. Prahlad says, I have learned how to glorify your transcendental qualities and thus enter into a trance of ecstasy. But I have a problem. I'm thinking of these rascals and fools. So the point is, you may say, well, I don't want to be stressed out about the suffering souls of this world. I just want to taste the bliss. You don't understand the process then of how it works. Because the more you're in anxiety about the distress of the living entities, the more you become empowered to taste the bliss. You may say, but how you can be in anxiety and bliss at the same time? That's contradictory. But you don't understand the transcendental platform. You do not understand the transcendental platform. The more you actually completely, totally stressed out. Prabhupada was crying tears. He was so disturbed to see the suffering of the conditioned souls. He was crying, he was weeping to see their suffering condition. In Melbourne, on the morning walk, it was Monday morning in the park, and all the commuters are coming in, you see, to begin another week of hell, slaving it away in the offices. Prabhupada was crying to see them, you see. Just see how far we are from that mood. We look out at El Paseo on Monday morning and see the commuters driving to their jobs and start crying. No. We just think, what time's Prashadam? You see? Just see, we have a long way to go. Me too, you know, we have a long way to go. So how do we get there? How do we get there from this Kanishna mentality to the Majjhima mentality? By the mercy of great Vaishnavas, by the mercy of Prahlad Maharaj, with whom we're associating here in this purport, by studying the words, the prayerful mood of Prahlad, we're actually getting his Sangha. You see, these great Vaishnavas, they are not dead. As Bhaktivinoda Thakur has confirmed, thou art, he reasons ill who tells that Vaishnavas die. When thou art living still in sound and living, try to spread the holy name around. These Vaishnavas are still with us. They are present in their remembrance. They are present in their words. By reading this prayerful, wonderful mood of Prahlad Maharaj, who is our role model on the consciousness that we want to develop. You understand? Prahlad Maharaj is a role model for us struggling neophytes. Prabhupada is presenting him as a role model for us, you see. If we can meditate on his mood, and we can understand that he's maybe contradictory, apparently contradictory from the material viewpoint, but in the spiritual platform, to be in ecstasy and agony at the same time is the perfection of consciousness. Perfection. Even we see a slightly different but similar thing in the gopis in their relationship with Krishna. It's described the anguish they feel being separated from Krishna is the highest ecstasy of love of God. You may say, well, how is that possible? But even from the mundane viewpoint, some guy is in love with a girl, okay? And, you know, the summer comes. It was actually a pop song when I was a kid, you know. It's been a long and lonely summer. But darling, now remember this. Every day I write you a letter and I seal it with a kiss. So he's, you know, they're high school lovers, and during the summer vacation she has to go off somewhere, and he's missing her like anything. And The love he expresses in those letters is like 10 times more intense than he ever told her to her face. You see what I'm saying? So love in separation is more intense than love in meeting, you see. This is one of the subtle points of Vaishnava philosophy, describing Krishna and the gopis. And the same thing applies. Even Prabhupada says, in a relation with our spiritual master, the same thing applies. The ecstasy of being, the pain of being separated from your spiritual master exceeds the ecstasy of meeting him, you see. If you're in the right mood, if you're in the mood of embracing the order of your spiritual masters, your very life and soul, then the ecstasy you feel of anticipating that day when you will meet him is actually more intense and therefore sweeter than actually meeting him. Well, we're not there yet. We certainly felt more enlivened to see Prabhupada, you know, pulling up in front of the temple and getting out of the car. It was certainly much more thrilling than being separated from our mundane vision. But actually, for one who has come to the transcendental platform, the pain of being separated from Krishna, the pain of being separated from one's spiritual master, exceeds many, many times the ecstasy of meeting them. So, in a similar way, the pain of separation is actually the highest bliss. The pain of anguish to see the suffering souls of this world is actually the highest happiness, because it gives the greatest pleasure to Lord Chaitanya. And when Lord Chaitanya is pleased with you, then you know he showers oceans and oceans and oceans and oceans of mercy upon you. It's like torrents of Prabhupada compared it to the monsoon season in India, the torrents of rain in the monsoon season. So somehow or other we have to come to this platform of Prahlad Maharaj and we have to beg his mercy. My dear Prahlad Maharaj, now all I care about is what time is Prashadam and when can I take a nap? How can I please, my dear Prahlad, help me develop your mood, you see. Not caring a fig for my own personal comforts and only caring how to deliver all the fallen souls. We see this same mood, that wonderful bhajan of Bhakti Vinod Thakur. You know that kabbe habbe bolo se di namar bhajan. He says, when will that day be mine? When I forget about my own eating and sleeping, mating and defending. When I forget about my own comforts and I simply take out to preach the divine command of Gauranga. You see? When will that day come when I forget about my own comforts and I simply think, and now let me fully embrace this preaching mood of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, make it one with my consciousness, you see. We really have to develop that mood, Lord Chaitanya's mood. We are Gaura Bhaktas. We are the devotees of Lord Chaitanya. That means we have to be in the same mood. If you're not in the same mood of Lord Chaitanya, are you a true Gaura Bhakta or not? You're not. We're not, you see. If we have not fully embraced the mood of Lord Chaitanya, how can we claim to be a Gaudiya Vaishnavas? You understand the point? We have to develop that mood of Lord Chaitanya, of complete total compassion. Complete total compassion. That I'm simply living. If Krishna wants me to take birth after birth until all the fallen souls are delivered, I don't mind. I'm willing to do whatever is required, whatever, doesn't care, it doesn't matter what it is. I'm willing to do whatever is required of me for the deliverance of the fallen souls. Whatever I may have to do, I'm willing to do it. Just let me be fully immersed in delivering the fallen conditioned souls of this world back to home, back to Godhead, you see. That is what it means to be a Gaura Bhakta, the follower of Lord Chaitanya, you see. That means. So if we develop that mood, then Krishna will become our personal possession. Krishna will have Krishna as our... He will be ours. We will own Krishna. You see? And when you own Krishna, there's nothing lacking. Never anything lacking. Therefore, Prahlada has no problem, you see. He has no problem in prison. So I can ask now if there's any questions. We have a few minutes left. From you all or on the internet, anybody's asked questions. Yes, not any.
try to, I guess what my question is that is it possible to artificially have this mood, or is it okay to just try to force?
You actually, it's not really artificial. It's artificial not to have it, really. Because the soul's nature is that, like that, full of compassion. So right now it seems artificial to be in that mood because we are so grossly artificial at the present time. You see, absolutely, grotesquely artificial presently, you understand? So how do we get back to where that's our natural state? Well, you have to pray for the mercy, you see. Krishna, please bless me with this divine compassion. To beg for it is not artificial. Because you understand, I need this. This is what I have to do to please Krishna and Lord Chaitanya, to please Prabhupada. I have to please my Guru Maharaj. I have to be in this mood of compassion. So to beg for it is not artificial. And to act as if you did really care, you see, that's not artificial. Just like when you're on the train yesterday in the DFW airport, there's a little commuter train between the terminals. And there was some guy there, some college kid, you know, on the other side of the car, sitting on the seat facing us. I don't know, I was in the mood of being compassionate. So I went ahead and manifested it. And I said, he had SMU, so Southern Methodist University. I said, oh, you're from SMU? We started a whole conversation. And then he opened up and started talking. We had quite a few stops before we got to the terminal. He said, yeah, we went. He said, yeah, Dalai Lama came to, maybe because of the dress, I don't know, because he looked like monks or something. He said, yeah, Dalai Lama came to SMU, and the basketball stadium completely sold out. You know, he started talking about Dalai Lama, and then at the end I said, I gave him an invitation in my e-course. Says, I can take you higher than Dalai Lama, I told him. And I gave him an invocation for my e-course, you see. So, you know, step out of your comfort zone, you know. Just step out of it. Be bold. It's fun. It's really ecstatic, you know. Jump out of your, you know, timid little scared comfort zone. Become a Maharati, you know. Become a Maharati. It's blissful to be a Maharati. One who can defeat 1,000 Mayavadis with one argument. You see? be a Maharati, a Vaishnava Maharati preacher. Be bold. It's nectar. To be a spiritual revolutionary is the sweetest bliss. So don't cheat yourself by remaining in your artificial, you know, little mouse consciousness. Come out and be a mighty tiger. You see? Be a tiger now. Stop being a mouse. Be a tiger. Go out and distribute books. Go on Harinam. Be aggressive to take over the world for Prabhupada. Our mission, I just read the Nectar Devotion. Krishna consciousness is the one switch that will turn on the whole world. So flip the switch. Turn on the world. It's your duty to flip the switch and turn on the whole world. You see, every devotee should think like that. Let me become an empowered preacher who can make a huge difference on this planet with whatever years I have here. Let me become an empowered preacher who can make a tremendous, awesome difference on this planet as long as I'm here, you see. Every devotee should think like that. Every devotee should think, how can I have a revolutionary impact on the global consciousness? Okay, next question. Yeah. Okay, fine.
Realizing that the ecstasy of separation.
Yeah.
So I was just thinking when you said about the spiritual master, one gets in ecstasy when the spiritual master is coming, but then one gets an anxiety at the same time also how to serve the spiritual master. And if there is some mistake, correction happens, then more. And after a few days, one gets very tired and thinks, how soon the spiritual master is going to go? And when the spiritual master is away, they are looking forward when he's going to come and I will see. But when he becomes present, due to corrections and mistakes, one becomes in more anxiety rather than becoming ecstatic.
You're saying sometimes that because when the spiritual master comes, he corrects me and points out my faults, that I become discouraged? Anxiety?
Anxiety, and sometimes it becomes so much a service that one feels that how soon this will be over.
Yeah, one godbrother admitted like that. It was so intense when Prabhupada was there. He was wondering, when will Prabhupada leave? He actually admitted that thought went through his brain. It's pretty low class, what can you say? He actually admitted, yeah, it was so intense when Prabhupada was there. He was thinking, when is Prabhupada going to leave? It's very offensive. Very, very, very offensive. It's guru aparad to think that way.
Why I didn't get closer to Prabhupada, or when I was there, why couldn't I go to serve him always happily?
I'm not catching all the words, but I'm... All right.
I said, when the spiritual master is not present, the disciple may be hankering. When I will get the opportunity to serve...
That's true. You see, those who can serve the... when one has a very rare opportunity, then you take it with great enthusiasm. But if you have that stated, familiarity breeds contempt. If one has too much association, you may start to think the spiritual master is an ordinary man. For somebody to actually be the personal servant of Prabhupada required a very special person who can maintain that on reverence mood, you see, in spite of being with Prabhupada day in and day out. You see, if one is... If one takes it as some ordinary thing, and then it becomes guru aparad. Any questions?
Online,
what question?
Shreyas from New Delhi says, Hare Krishna, Shri Gurudev, please accept my humble obeisances unto your lotus feet. Shri Gurudev, it's difficult to surrender faithfully, to blissfully accept the miseries as Krishna's blessings. How to do this in order to develop tolerance?
Yes, how to accept miseries as Krishna's mercy in order to develop tolerance. The classic example, of course, is Queen Kunti. She was finding that the bad times were more better for her Krishna consciousness than the good times. Therefore, Queen Kunti prays, Dipadarshan tita shashvat tatatat jagad jagad garo bhavanam darshanam yashad apunarbhavadarshanam. She's begging, you can read this prayer in the Bhagavatam, she's begging, my dear Lord, please give me more and more miseries. Because when I'm miserable, I can do nothing but take shelter of you. And when I take shelter of you, then I know that I will not have to see the cycle of birth and death anymore. So please give me more miseries to facilitate my becoming more and more taking shelter of you. You see, Queen Kunti is praying in that way. So I'm not saying you have to beg for mercy, for misery, but we have so much bad karma, we're getting misery all the time. Practically every day we have to get misery, isn't it? Don't you find yourself miserable at least once a day? At least once, maybe 10 times a day. Maybe the whole day. You know, we're packing a lot of bad karma from our previous activities, you know. So, you know, it's not unusual. We go through a lot of anxiety. Wake up in anxiety. We're in anxiety this time, that time. Sometimes it's like mostly anxiety. A little bliss every now and then is to keep your hope up, you know. So we don't have to pray for anxiety. It's coming anyway. But the key is to remember that actually anxiety is favorable for your Krishna consciousness. You have to learn how to use it properly. Here's a little way to remember it. Don't take it as a stumbling block. Do not take difficulties as stumbling blocks. Take them as stepping stones. So in this way, just always remember that this misery should not be taken as a stumbling block. It should be taken as a stepping stone to help me advance further in Krishna consciousness. The fact is, if you have faith in this principle, by seeing everything as the mercy of Krishna, you will finally reach a state where you experience actually experience it, not just theoretically, but you actually feel how it's the mercy of Krishna. The beginning, it's only theoretical, you see. But if you have faith in the words of the spiritual master who enlightens you with transcendental knowledge, gradually what you just understand theoretically becomes established as an irrevocable realization within your heart. You'll feel the ecstasy even in agonizing experiences. So you have to have faith. Okay, remember this and go forward with great enthusiasm, determination, and patience, because it will take you time to come to this exalted state where you experience anxiety as bliss. It will take you time, but you will get there if you have faith in this process and you do it diligently under the order of the bona fide spiritual master. Next question. Can you repeat a question for me? Just tell me without the mic.
How can you maintain the mood of awed reverence when you're going to the programs every day and seeing the deities?
Oh, okay. Our tendency is, from our material condition, to see some stone statues standing there. You have to beat your mind with shoes, really. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati said, in the morning, beat your mind with shoes 100 times, and in the evening with a broomstick 100 times. You got to beat your mind with shoes. That's Lord Chaitanya actually standing there. I remember I was in Atlanta with Prabhupada. They had big Gaurantai deities in the center altar at that time, and Prabhupada's the Vyasasama in the back of the temple room, and I was just by Prabhupada's right side. I like to station myself close to Prabhupada. I really like to get close to him whenever I had a chance. So I was just right there by Prabhupada's right side, and Prabhupada was looking at the deities. He said, Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda have appeared in Atlanta. And I was thinking, wow, Prabhupada's actually seeing them, and I'm seeing some statues down there. But I knew the Prabhupada was actually experiencing Lord Chaitanya. It's like I can see you as a living person, you see. He was seeing Lord Chaitanya as a living person, Lord Nityananda. So we have to have faith in that, and we have to remember that. That's why we bow down. When the curtain opens, we bow down and we pray, very freely. You can actually beg them, my dear Lord, please bless me. I can see you as you are. Jagannatha Swami Nayana Patagami Bhava to me. My dear Lord, see, actually that Lord Chaitanya is also Jagannath. And he is Krishna. Krishna is Jagannath. So you can even pray that to Lord Chaitanya. My dear Jagannatha Swami, my dear Lord of the universe, please bless me. I can see you as you actually are, not as simply some statue, you see. But even if it is a statue, even if you see it as a, even if you see the deity as a statue, according to Brahma Samhita, Krishna is within everything. Ekopyasavrachavitam jagadandakotim yat shaktirasti jagadanda jayayadanta andantarasta paramanuchayantarastam govindam adipurusham tamaham bhajami. He's an undifferentiated entity, as there is no distinction between potency and the possessor thereof. In his work of creation of millions of worlds, his potency remains inseparable. All the universes exist within him, and he is present in his fullness in every atom that is scattered throughout the universe at one and the same time. So even if you see that as a statue, then still Lord Chaitanya is fully present there. He's fully present everywhere, but he's especially present in the form of a deity. Prabhupada gives the example of the mailbox. Of course, now we mostly do emails, but there was a day we used to always mail letters There was no email. And we, anytime you want to write a letter, you got to go down to the mailbox and drop it in the box, you see. But, you know, of course, there's the downtown post office, too. You could go all the way down there to mail your letter, but why bother? There's a neighborhood mailbox maybe a block away from your house. Just walk over there and drop it in, see. So if that mailbox is actually authorized, then you can drop your letters there. You don't have to go downtown to mail your letter. So the deity is an authorized manifestation. He is Krishna himself kindly manifesting in your neighborhood so you can directly connect with him without having to go all the way to Goloka Vrindavan, you see, which is like the main post office. So Krishna has come. Lord Chaitanya has come. Lord Nityananda has come. And then you can always remember the story of Sakshi Gopal. You know that story. It's a wonderful story how that the deity walked. There was a promise made in front of the deity. The elder Brahmin and the younger Brahmin, they came from a distant village all the way to Vrindavan. And the elder Brahmin was so, the invalid elder Brahmin felt so indebted to the younger Brahmin. He said, "I will give you my daughter in marriage when we return home." He said, "No, don't say that. You know, we're different. I'm a different caste of Brahmin than you. You're the wealthy caste. I'm the poor caste. The society, especially your family, will never accept this." He said, no, you've been so kind to me. I will say in front of the deity that I am giving you my daughter in marriage when we return to the village. Now that's when you see in India, when you make a vow in front of the deity, there's no lying. You don't dare lie. You would never lie in front of the deities because it's Krishna himself. So, and sure enough, when they got back to the village, the younger Brahmin was right. It was a huge uproar. The elder brother of the girl, it was the son of the elderly Brahmin, said, "Oh, this rascal, this scoundrel, he gave my father some drugs, and now he's making this false claim that my father offered my sister in marriage to him." He made a big uproar in the village. And so it was a compromise deal worked out. The younger Brahmin said, "Look, this promise was made in front of the deities. And if the deity will come and bear witness that this promise was indeed made, will you accept it?" The elder brother of the girl, he was atheist. He said, "Yeah, right. You'll never bring him. That huge, heavy, big, huge deity could never come here." "Yeah, sure, no problem." But so the younger Brahmin went all the way back to Vrindavan. He said, "My dear Lord, this promise was made in front of you, and now there's a big trouble in the village. The promise is not being kept. It's a great offense against you. So I'm begging you, my dear Lord, you kindly come back to the village with me and bear witness." And the deity said, "But how can I come to the village with you? I'm a stone statue." The young Brahmin, he was no fool. He said, "Ah, but you just talked with me. You claim to be a stone statue, but you just spoke to me. If you can talk with me, you can walk with me." And Prabhupada said the deity was defeated by logic. So he said, "All right." He said, "I will come with you, but don't you turn around and look. You know that I'm behind you because you will hear the sound of my ankle bells, but don't you turn around, because if you do, I'm not going to go any further." So the deal was made, and he headed out walking. He heard ching, ching, ching behind him. So it went on for days. He wouldn't dare turn around. Even at night when he took rest, he had to sleep in the opposite. He had to face, make sure he didn't look behind, you see, because the deal was made. If you look behind, that's it. I'm not going any further. So every day, ching, 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 many, many days, ching, ching, ching. He got right to the edge of the village, and no more ching, ching, ching. What's going on? He forgot for a minute. He forgot. He turned around. Oh, there was the deity standing, this huge deity, Gopal deity of Krishna, standing there. But that was it. The deity's not going to go any further. But he was right on the outskirts of the village, no problem. He ran to the village. "Gopal has come. Gopal has come." And all the villagers came out. And then the young Brahmin married the young girl, and they lived happily ever, you know. They lived happily in grihastha life, Krishna conscious household life. But anyway, it was a wonderful story. If you can remember these kind of stories, which are histories, by the way, they're not make-believe stories. It's a historical fact. That deity is still there. Sakshi Gopal deity. But unfortunately, the pujaris are Hindu conscious. If you're a Malecha, you can't have the darshan. Only Hindus going to have the darshan. My wife and I went. I couldn't. She was allowed the darshan, but I was not, unfortunately. I gave them my Malecha money donation. They're happy to accept my Malecha donation. Kind of dirty hands of a Malecha, they took the money. I actually gave them a big donation, like $1,000. I forget what it was. I gave them a big donation, thinking they might let me be kind and let me have the darshan, but they wouldn't. They would take the Malecha money, but they wouldn't let the Malecha have darshan. Yes. But anyway, but that deity is still there, being worshipped by some not so Krishna conscious, caste conscious Brahmins now. But that deity is still there. It's a historical fact. So you have to have faith, and we've even seen in Atlanta that they have a deity just like yours, of Prabhupada. And during the big festival they have every year, the Panihati Festival, big festival they have every year, the Chip Rice and Yogurt Festival, very ecstatic thing. Jai Pataka Swami was there. So anyway, there was a big kirtan going on after the noon arti, and lo and behold, what happened? Prabhupada went into ecstasy. He started crying, and the deity started crying. There was a tear coming down Prabhupada's. You could see a tear came out of his eye, down his cheek. Prabhupada was crying in ecstasy from the kirtan. So, don't think that Prabhupada, this is just a statue. Prabhupada can fully manifest himself. Gaurinathai can fully manifest. Radha Damodar can fully manifest. Those little Radha Krishna deities, they can be fully manifest. Simply, it is a matter of your love and your faith. If you have full faith that that's actually Lord Chaitanya standing on the altar, then you may have that day when he actually talks to you and gives you an instruction. It's a matter of your faith, you see. No matter how much faith do you have. Yayata mang prapanyante tangstataiva bhajamyaham. Inasmuch as they surrender to me, I reward them accordingly. So how much faith you have that the deity is Krishna, that is the surrender of your mind. You see? That means your mind is surrendered to Krishna. So it looks like we're going a bit overtime now. We're already 10 minutes overtime. In some temples, I get chastised by the temple president if I do that. I go 5 minutes overtime, I get chastised after the lecture. So I don't want to take any risk here. I'm getting in trouble with the authorities here. Oh, the temple president's here. He's smiling, so I guess it's okay. Maybe one more question, and then we'll call it quits. Yeah, one more.
Shreyas has a follow-up.
Shreyas has given a follow-up, okay. Shreyas from New Delhi, okay. What is it?
Says, thank you, Srila Gurudev. I am convinced also of all the three reasons why Lord Chaitanya advented. All are based on transcendental relishing. In the past, some devotees told me that the main purpose is to understand the purpose of Lord Chaitanya's advent, internal mood of Srila Prabhupada. This sounded somewhat different than the anxiety mood which Chaitanya has described recently. Kindly explain.
That was the last thing you said?
Explain.
Yeah, I can't hear everything, but I'm just trying to guess from the words I did hear, and then see if I guess correctly. There's the Lord Chaitanya, one reason it describes, he invented to save the fallen souls, the other he wanted to taste the mood of Radharani. So that's the question. I don't know which is more important, or which is the real reason, what are the highest reason that they question.
He says our main purpose is to understand the internal reason.
Internal rasa, main purpose of why Lord Chaitanya.
The Lord Chaitanya's primary reason for coming was to taste the ecstasy of Radha's love. That's why. He went in. In other words, Krishna is the supreme enjoyer. But he's seeing something, there's some incongruity in his creation, and that is, even though he's the supreme enjoyer, here's this girl who's enjoying more than he is. She's getting more pleasure loving him than he is experiencing being loved by her. And this is an incongruity because he's the supreme enjoyer. You see? So he doesn't want to be outdone. There's like a transcendental competition. He doesn't want to be outdone by this girl, Radharani, that she's going to enjoy more than him. Krishna is actually envious. And he wants to taste, I want to taste it too. She's relishing more than I am. Well, hey, I want to also experience what she's experiencing. So when he's in that, when Krishna's in that mood, he takes on the complexion. She's called Gaurangi. She's a golden, she has golden limbs. Krishna is bluish, she's golden, you see. So Krishna takes on the complexion and the mood of Srimati Radharani and he manifests himself as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That's the primary purpose of Lord Chaitanya's manifestation. And as a wonderful secondary benefit, while you're relishing the love of Radharani and the feelings of Radharani, deliver all the fallen souls at the same time. Because that's Radharani's mood. She's very compassionate. So when he enters the Radharani's mood, naturally he's compassionate to deliver all the fallen souls because Radharani is so compassionate. Prabhupada told us on Ranastami in London, he said that if you approach Radharani, my dear mother, and as a side note, some of our ladies now in ISKCON, they object to be calling mother, but Prabhupada said we should call Radharani his mother. So to be called mother means you're in the same, you're in the Radharani Sampradaya. It's a pretty high level thing. So don't, ladies shouldn't object to be calling mother. When Prabhupada said Radharani should also be called mother, you're in Radharani's category, in one of her followers. So anyway, my dear mother, please tell about me to your Krishna. That's how Prabhupada said we should pray to her. And then Prabhupada said, and then Krishna will say, he will see, oh. Radharani will say, yes. Radharani will say, Krishna, just see this devotee, so-and-so das. He's better devotee than me, Krishna. My dear Shyam Sundar, just see this devotee. He's better devotee than me. She recommend to Krishna that you are a better devotee than she is. And then Krishna becomes into, oh, there's somebody better than my dear most devotee who pleases more than anyone is Radharani. But now she's saying there's somebody in my creation who is better than her. Let me see who this devotee is. Who is this devotee better than my Radharani? You see? So this is her compassion. She pushes everyone forward to Krishna. So when Lord Krishna is in that mood of Radharani, and naturally he's very compassionate of the fallen souls, and we'll go ahead and stop here. And we thank you all very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaura Premanandi.
Hare Hare Bol. Srila Sankarshan Das Hari Kaur Maharaj ki jai.